Turn to Matthew with me, if you would, please. Chapter number 22, the book of Matthew, chapter 22. It's good to be with you. How many of you are glad you're saved this morning?
Amen.
On your way to heaven, amen?
Amen?
Amen. Nothing better than being a Christian.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me make a couple statements. Let me make this statement. The most important business in the world is God's business, not our business. And that's something we need to always remember. Amen? Because we're prone to make ourselves more important than God. And there is nobody more important than God. Amen? Amen. And everything down here is temporal except what you do for Christ. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Amen? Now, it's okay to have things. It's all right to live in this world. We have to live here. But we don't take the worldly things with us. So it's a good thing to remember through your life. Amen? You know? So Matthew chapter 22. Let's go there this morning. And I'm glad to be with you. Thank God for your pastor. You love your preacher?
Amen.
That wasn't good enough. You love your preacher?
Amen.
You know, your pastor should be the greatest preacher in the world to you. I mean that. You know, we get enamored with big shots, but they're not here pastoring you. You get enamored with an evangelist, he blows through, you know, well, look, I only have to preach 4 or 5 sermons and I'm out of here. I don't have to feed you day in, day out. I did that for 26 years, and I know what it means to be a pastor, and I know how many times it is as a pastor that you labor for the people and then are not appreciated. I'm not going to be here when you call. If somebody gets sick tonight, don't call me. Call your preacher. Amen. I'm not coming over. Amen. Your pastor is your shepherd. He loves you. He leads you. He feeds you. I'm a sheepdog. I came in nip at your heels for a couple of services. Amen. But he's the greatest pastor. Let me say this to you. You should remember your pastor according to Hebrews 13. What's that mean? Carry him on your heart as he carries you on his heart. You know that he doesn't go one day without thinking about all that you folks are going through. And you should not go one day without thinking about what your pastor's having to carry. You're supposed to salute the pastor, Hebrews chapter 13. What does that mean? That means to enfold in the arms. In other words, your pastor ought to know that you love him. You ought to tell him so. You ought to show him so. Jesus said to Peter, Peter loves thou me more than these. He wanted to hear Peter say it. And then he said, feed my sheep. He wants Peter to show it. So you ought to say to your preacher that you love him. You ought to show your preacher. And then the third thing it says in Hebrews is you ought to obey them that have the rule over you. That means to follow his leadership. Amen. As long as it's not heresy, you don't need to be fighting him. The house of God should not be a place of disunity. There are several things killing our churches, and one of them is division. And we don't get divided over doctrine. We get divided over personal preference, or we get divided over opinions. And there's no reason to do that. You know, really, who cares what color the carpet is? Amen. Let me just throw this out there. You know, the tithe is not yours, never has been yours. The tithe is the Lord. So let me just say this. Once you give it to the church, it's still not yours. And a lot of times we have this problem. I don't like the way you're spending our money. Wait a minute, it's not your money. It's his money. I'm not talking about fiscal irresponsibility. I'm just talking about sometimes we just get all bent out of shape. Because we think that's our money. You know, the reason you give the tithe is because you show God your appreciation that He gave you hands. He gave you feet. We don't give tithe because it's a duty. We give tithe because it's a devotion. Amen. Just trying to help you there, amen. Don't know why I said that, but I did. Matthew chapter 22. Look with me at verse 35, if you would, this morning. Matthew 22, verse 35. says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, saying unto him, let me get there, saying unto him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. I'll just talk to you this morning about loving the Lord. Loving the Lord. Can I tell you something, dear friend? There's two words there that will transform your life. The word loving and the word Lord. Here we have a man that asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul and mind. This is the first and great commandment. Let me say something to you. The greatest sin you commit is not smoking. Please don't misunderstand me. We got a lot of Pharisees in our Baptist churches. We're thinking, because I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with girls that do, I'm so super spiritual. But God says the greatest commandment is to love me. I want to ask you something. Do you love God more than you love anything else? Because if you love something more than you love God, you're committing, if you're saved, you're committing spiritual adultery. You see that you and I are the bride of Christ. Amen? One of these days we're going to have a marriage supper and we're going to consummate the marriage by spending our life with Christ. By the way, that's why God's against divorce. Because divorce, marriage is a picture of us in heaven. One of these days, Christ's going to come get His bride. We're going to get married in heaven. We're going to be together forever. And I will never put Christ away, and He'll never put me away. So nobody should even get married if they're planning on divorcing because they are corrupting the gospel. And God says if you preach another gospel, you'll be accursed. Now, if you're divorced and remarried, nobody's your enemy. God's not your enemy either. He, because of the hardness of the heart, He allowed them to do that. Amen. Because you understand the importance of that. Let me say this. Be careful. The church is the bride of Christ. Be careful how you treat the bride of Christ. You know, my bride, don't treat my bride wrong. And what do you think God's going to do when you, what do you think Christ's going to do when you treat His bride wrong? You know, we got so many problems, and there's only by pride comes contention. Just too proud to admit we're wrong. Just got too big of an ego to keep our mouth shut sometimes when we need to just keep it shut. Amen. You know, God's work is being destroyed, is being hurt by division. Amen. So let's just talk about this thing. You know, we ought to, I just want to tell you, no, look, if you'll get love and lordship right, you won't have any problem serving the Lord. If you love the Lord the way you're supposed to, you won't have a problem serving Him. By the way, if you love your spouse the way you're supposed to, you won't have a problem serving them. Amen. I was thinking today of a man and a woman that I've been praying for this guy and talking with him, and his wife is separated from him. I thought, you know, if she, and she claims to be a great Christian. In fact, she even goes to the point of wearing a covering on her head and all that kind of stuff to try to show spirituality. But I don't have much respect for her spirituality when she won't submit to her husband and love him. You know, talk's cheap, amen? We talk a good talk, but we need to walk a good walk, amen? And here we have this teaching. Jesus said, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord. Of course, the word love there is using is that word, that agapeo, which means a deep love, much love. I ask you the question, do you love the Lord deeply? How much do you love the Lord? Do you love Him more than anything? And not that you shouldn't love anything else. When Jesus said in John 21, 15 through 17 to Simon after he went fishing because of his discouragement, He said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" It wasn't that you can't love something else, because I'm commanded to love my neighbor. That's the second great commandment. And then I'm commanded to love my enemies. Jesus gave a new commandment to love one another in the church. Amen. I'm to love my wife. Amen. I'm even to love my own self. No man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but loveth it. Amen. I'm to love my children. Amen. But what I need to ask myself is, do I love God more than I love anything else? More than I love anyone else? I can only answer for me. I can't answer for you. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know I'm supposed to love the Lord more than anything. With all my heart, all my soul, all my might, I'm supposed to love Him most. How much do I love the Lord? Do I really love Him? You know, the Bible says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." I love my children, but if I love my children more than I love God, I'm committing a sin against my God. "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." He's simply saying, I need to be number one in your love. You love me more than anyone or anything. Amen. Amen. Go with me to John chapter 14 with me very quickly. The reason this is important is simply this. The proof of our love is obedience. Amen. You know, your parents, if your children say, "I love you, Mom and Dad," but they don't obey you, isn't that pretty shallow? Amen. We say, "I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord." But I won't go to church. "I love you, Lord." But I won't read my Bible. Look at John 14 with me in verse 15. I'm just, you know, we're trying to have revival. I'll tell you what, I'll tell you this. You'll never have true revival till you start loving God with all your heart. As long as you love something else more than you love God, you'll never have true revival. You can never get right with God. You can't get right with God loving things more than Him. You just can't do it. It is the first commandment. It is the greatest sin that we commit, to not love the Lord more than anything else. And you can go down here and confess you're smoking, drinking, cussing, chewing, everything else, but it's not going to bring revival until you and I get totally in love with God. And we just need to look at our love life. Amen. Years ago at football camp, I preached for about 12 minutes and we had a revival. I preached on, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." I said, it says, "Ye that love the Lord," that's a defining factor. There are those who love the Lord and those who don't love the Lord. I don't know if you love the Lord or not. I made this statement, "I love the Lord, but I don't love the Lord like I should." And the moment I made a statement, a young man ran to the altar weeping, and the whole place just came down here. And for an hour and a half, they were on the floor weeping and confessing that they didn't love God like they should. We had revival. Because the first step in revival is you're going to have to get your love right. And we battle. That's why it says in 1 John 2:15, "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So we have a problem. This world gives a lot of things to love, doesn't it? Using the world, but not abusing the world. God put us in the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. Amen. He didn't say He's going to take us out of the world, but He wants to keep us from the evil that's in the world. There's nothing wrong with loving some things in the world, but you can't love them more than you love God. That's the key. And the battle we have is this battle of, what am I going to put in my love life first? I love my wife, but he that loves his wife more than the Lord is not worthy of him. Amen. My wife knows I love her, but I don't love her more than I love God. I cannot, because I'd be breaking the first commandment. And I don't want to do that. By the way, I think God will bless your marriage if you'll love God first. The reason some people have marriages is because they're in love with each other, but they're not in love with God first. You've seen the triangle. God up here, you down here. The closer you get to the Lord, you more love the Lord, the closer you get to yourself. If you love God like you should, by the way, man, if you love God like you should, you will love your wife like you should. And women, if you love God like you should, you will love and you will honor and you will subject yourself to your husband like you should. Look at John 14, verse 15. Look what it says. Jesus speaking. By the way, I say this all the time when I'm preaching. When I was a boy, there's a commercial. It's called E.F. Hutton. Any of you old timers remember the E.F. Hutton commercial? E.F. Hutton was a financial institution. And they'd be sitting on an airplane, two guys talking about finances. One of them would say, E.F. Hutton says, and the moment they'd hear that word E.F. Hutton, everybody on the plane would stop talking and tune their ear to see what E.F. Hutton said. Can I say this? When Jesus speaks, you and I ought to listen. You better listen when Jesus is talking. You know, not to listen to me would be a terrible thing, but, you know, I'm just a human being. But when you don't listen to the Lord God, amen, that's terrible. Look what Jesus said in John 14, 15. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I can tell you how to know if you love the Lord or not. How well are you keeping His commandments? I don't keep them perfectly, so I don't love Him as much as I should. But I know that if I'm going to keep His commandments, I'm going to have to love Him with all my heart. So I've got to work on my love life. Amen? I've got to look at the things I love, and I've got to make sure that those things that I love are, first of all, appropriate. I shouldn't love evil. I shouldn't love sin. I have a flesh nature. My flesh loves that. Y'all have that, don't you? Amen? Well, my flesh loves it, man. There are some things on TV my flesh really loves, but if I'm a Christian, I'm not supposed to love those. So I have to take an inventory. One of the things I learned, my life was a mess. I'm the worst Christian I know, and I was a total prodigal. I left church altogether when I was in college. I got saved at 5 at the age of 6. I was introduced to a wicked sin. And when I was 6 years of age, my grandmother said, something wrong with that boy. He'll be in prison someday. And I would have been in prison if I'd ever carried out all the stuff that was going on inside me. Now, if you're saved, you're not exempt from temptation. If you're saved, you're not exempt from evil thinking. Okay? I was as saved as you can be. I know I was saved. God wouldn't leave me alone. He never left me nor forsook me. But I lived a wicked, ungodly life. When I started to get right, one of the things that helped me to get right was I decided that I would get in love with God. I'd love His Word. I'd love His church. I'd love what He loves. Do you love what God loves? We need to ask ourselves that. But look what He said in John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, I love you, Lord, but I'm not going to do that. Then you don't love me. Don't love me like I should. Like you should. I'm not saying you don't love Him at all. I'm just simply, He said, look, if you really love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Pretty clear statement. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered, and if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we're going to come out and make our abode. And he that loveth me not, verse 24, keepeth not my sayings. So how do I know if I love God like I should? It's based on how well I'm keeping His commandments. I can talk all I want to, and I do. I get up in the morning, by the way, and I think it's a good thing to do. I get up, and before I get out of bed in the morning, I try to do this. I look up to the Lord, and I say, God, Father, I love You today. I want You to know I love You. I say, Jesus, I love You today. I just want You to know I love You today. I did it this morning. I try it every morning before I get out of bed. As soon as my eyes wake up, I say, Holy Spirit, I love You. Now I know God is one. He's a Trinity. But all three persons of the Godhead deserve my love. And I try every morning before I start the day, Lord, I want You to know I love You today. I just want You to know I love You. I just want to love You like I should. Honestly, it's the best way to start your day. And then, you know, sometimes I argue my case. I say, Lord, if I didn't love You, I wouldn't leave my wife for 2 months at a time. Lord, if I didn't love you, I would have never surrendered to preach. I'd still be a football coach. Or if I didn't love you, I wouldn't be here where I don't see my grandkids when I want to. I'm just trying to argue my case with the Lord. I don't know why, but sometimes it just helps. I think sometimes God wants us to maybe treat Him like a judge and just kind of argue a case. And so I do that because I don't want my words to be empty words. How many times have you said to somebody you love them and it was just an empty word? How many times you said to a Christian brother, I love you, and all it was an empty word? There was really no heart in it. Lord, I love you. I want you to know I love you today. I did that this morning. Second thing I do after I say I love you, Lord, I start thanking Him for what He did for me. You see, we're so wrapped up in ourselves and so wrapped up in our agenda, so wrapped up in our work, that the truth of the matter is we'll go sometimes all day long and never even consider our God. Never even have a little bit of time for Him. You know, my wife, she wants me to say I love her, but she likes it when I give her time. And I'm a pretty busy guy. And so there's a lot of times when she don't get much time, and she's always very thankful when I give her some time. Because she wants to know that I love her, not just hear that I love her. Amen. Amen. Go with me, if you would, very quickly to the book of 1 John. 1 John, chapter number 2. I've read it, I quoted it to you, but I want you to see it. 1 John also tells us this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. Wait a minute, listen to me. Can I help you here? Well, I'm keeping your commandments, Lord. You know what you're saying? It grieves me to have to do that. But I'm doing it. You know, and by the way, you should. You should do it because of duty, whether you have devotion or not. But we ought to do it because of devotion. Amen? Don't you love it when your kids serve you because of devotion, not duty? When your kids serve you happily, not with a bad attitude. Amen. I'm just trying to help you. Can I tell you something? The greatest thing God wants from you and I is true love. Do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Hey, you know, you've studied the Word. Peter said, I'm fond of you. That's not the word Jesus wanted to hear. He wanted to hear, do you really deeply love me, Peter? He said, I'm fond. Jesus asked him again. Peter said, I'm fond. Finally, the last time, Jesus said, are you fond of me? Do you like me? And then Peter was grieved. You know why Peter was grieved? Because he couldn't say to the Lord, I really, truly love you. Can you say to God this morning, I really, truly love you, Father, with all my heart, with all my soul, all my mind? I love you. Lord, I'll go anywhere you want me to go. I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll give up anything you want me to give up. Can I tell you something? That's not just for the preacher. That's not just for the missionary. That's for every Christian. Romans 12:1 is for every Christian. It wasn't written to the pastor. Only three books written to the pastor. 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus. In Romans 12, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And of course, in the word brethren, we could put the sisters. That you present your body a living sacrifice. Amen. Lord, here I am. I love you enough. I give you my whole body, my whole life, everything I have, everything I am, everything I own. It's all yours because I love you. Well, if we could just get love with the Lord this morning, we'd have revival. We wouldn't even have to keep the meeting going. We could just shut it down. I go home and see my wife. And you guys could have revival. But we have a hard time with that. I quote a look at 1 John 2:15. Look what it says there. It says there, love not the world, Neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I just want to say something to you. It is not wrong for us to have affection for things of the world. It's just wrong for us to love them with the love that God ought to have. You know, it's interesting. Jesus said no man could serve two masters. The love of one, hate the other, despise one, cling to the other. You cannot serve God and Baal. Is that what he said? Can't serve God and Allah. Because listen to me, folks. He knew that post-Calvary Christians would never worship an idol, would never worship a false god. But he also knew what we would worship is mammon. And I tell you what, the Lord, I'll get that next statement. But in your heart, you and I all know what we love. And we know if we've got our love in a wrong proportion. I love you, Lord, but you're down here below this. I loved football. Football was my God. When the Lord started working with me about preaching, I said, no, I'm going to be a football coach. I just simply loved football more than I loved God. In fact, I loved football more than I loved my own children. I remember my oldest boy, I was watching a football game, NFL football game on a Sunday afternoon. I went to church three times a week. Amen. I've been in church 9 months before I was born. Amen. I went three times a week. I went out on visitation. I helped teach a youth class, Sunday school class. But you know what? I loved football more than anything in the world. And my boy came to me, won my attention, and I said, get out in front of the TV. I'm watching TV. And he got in there again. I said, son, I told you, get out in front of the TV. I'm watching a football game. Now get out in front of the TV. And he came over and got up and grabbed my face, and I went ballistic. I mean, I just screamed at him. And the Lord said, you have a real problem. You love football more than you love your son. I went over and flipped the television off and grabbed my son, told him I'm sorry. And I said to my wife, I will not turn that TV on again. Because I love football too much. When God started dealing with me about preaching, I said, I'm going to be a football coach. And I got a call one Sunday after church and said that you need to run to the hospital. John has been rushed to the hospital with a bleeding brain concussion. And as I drove to the hospital to see John, who'd had surgery, they cut a palm-sized part of his skull out, washed out all the blood they could, put the bone in a freezer to put it in later, put skin over top of it to deal with the swelling and shrinking of his brain. And as I drove there, the Lord said to me, you taught him how to block, you taught him how to tackle, but you never taught him how to go to heaven because football is your God and you love football more than you love me. And that young man is going to die and go to hell because you don't love me like you should. Can I tell you, I'm glad God worked in my life about that, but I hope he doesn't have to do that to any of you to get you to recognize that you got some loves you need to deal with. I still love football. But I don't love it more than I love God. I get to go to the football camp once a year, and that's plenty enough for me. I'm glad I'm not a profession. I'm glad that's not my profession anymore. I don't love it more than I love preaching and serving the Lord. But I had to get my love life right. How's your love life? The second word in this passage is the word Lord. He said, thou shalt love the Lord. The word Lord there is the word kurios. It means supreme in authority, that which is the controller, master. It's 748 times in our King James Bible. The word Lord is very important to God. Amen. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Go with me to Luke chapter 6 and verse 46 very quickly. I was praying one day. And I don't know how you start your prayer, but at that time in my life, I started my prayer with the word Lord. How many of you use that term in your prayer? Maybe start it, or some to where during your prayer you use the word Lord. Well, I was praying to the Lord one day, And I said, "Dear Lord," and just starting my prayer, I said, "Dear Lord," and immediately this is what the Lord said to me. He quoted to me Luke 6 and verse 46. Oh, I'm in the wrong place. No, I got to get in the right place. It's not Luke 6, 46. What am I looking for? Oh, Luke 6. Oh, let me get over there. I'm in 5. Luke 6, 46. Look what he said. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And I said, "Lord." And he said, "Why are you calling me Lord? Lord means one that I obey, one that's my master, one that's my ruler." He said, "And Ted, you're not doing what I've told you to do." You know what he told me? He said, "Call me Jesus. You can call me that because I am Jehovah Saves. You can call me Christ because I am the Messiah. I am the Anointed One. You can call me Savior because I am the Savior, but don't call me Lord because I'm not your Lord." Boy, talk about a knife in your heart. You talk about an awakening moment. Talk about a moment where God says, "I want to transform your life. I want to see something happen in your life that you never thought could happen. I want you to get to the place where you can actually call me Lord." See, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He said, if I'm your Lord, you'll do what I say. Now, you and I can talk all we want to. We can say, "I love," and we can say, "Lord," all we want to. But God looks down and says, "Wait a minute, the proof is in the pudding. I know what you're doing. You know." Now, by the way, if you don't know something that you're supposed to do or not to do, then until you know that, it is a sin, but you are right that moment innocent of that sin. I mean, you don't know it. "To him that knoweth to do good, do it not; to him that does sin." But the moment you find out it's something you're not supposed to do or something you are supposed to do, if you love God, you will stop doing or start doing. And if he's Lord, you will stop doing or start doing. And if you don't, then don't call me Lord. And don't tell me you love me until I can see the proof in the pudding. Now, none of us are perfect, amen? The reason I say I'm the worst Christian I know, because I don't know you. I know me very well. I know every thought that goes through my head. I know every lust and passion I have. I know every time I'm lazy. I know every time that I don't do what God wants me to do. I know every time when I put me first instead of God first. I know all those times. I'm glad he's a long-suffering, merciful, and gracious God. Amen? Amen. So I'm not trying to beat you up, but I am trying to help you. You know, if we would just work on loving God first and foremost with all our heart, and work on making sure that he's the Lord of our life, it would transform us. It would fix a lot of stuff that we've never been able to fix. And God started working in my life. It wasn't long before I ran to an altar and said, "I do love you, Lord. Here's my life." Can I tell you what your pastor wants, whatever pastor wants? He wants his people to experience those types of things in their life. Not that you surrender to be a preacher, but that you surrender to being that person that loves God with all your heart and that he's Lord, because that makes for an easy church member to pastor. But that's not the main reason. The main reason is because we just want you to have the blessings and experience that beauty of being right with God. I would not go back to where I was for $10 billion. There's nothing in this world that makes me want to go back and love football more than I love God, or love my family more than I love God, or love anything more than I love God. There's nothing greater than loving God with all your heart. And when you have that, you have a sweet fellowship and relationship that is out of this world. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Can I tell you, if you ever get to the place where you get totally in love with the Lord, I call it walking in the Spirit. There's nothing sweeter on this side of heaven than to walk in the Spirit. Nothing. And once you've tasted it, nothing else will ever satisfy. You'll get crossways with God, and you won't be happy. You'll be miserable. And you'll have to do something to get back right. I'm going to tell you what, if you get where you love God like you should and you made Him Lord of your life, you'll spend about that long before you confess it. You won't let it ride. You won't let it ride for a day. You won't let it ride for an hour. You won't let it ride for a month. You know what, Brother Fritz, I feel like I spent my whole life in confession. Lord, I should have done that. I love you like I should. I'm sorry. By the way, the elderly black lady, she was such a happy Christian. Somebody asked her, she said, "Ma'am, well, how's come you're so happy?" She says, "'Cause I confesses them as I commits them." Can I tell you, the way to keep your marriage sweet, husband and wife, is to love each other. And when you haven't loved each other, to get it right immediately. You know, young people, how to have a great relationship with your parents is as soon as you know you've done wrong because you love your parents, get it right immediately. But the most important relationship is that relationship with God. And the moment you know you haven't loved Him because you've disobeyed Him and He hasn't been Lord, you get to that confession to the high priest. Amen? Not an earthly priest. And you let Him know, "I'm sorry, Lord, I don't love you like I should." And you confess what you did. By the way, he that hideth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth, wait a minute, and forsaketh shall have mercy. Many of us have not really received the mercy we should because we haven't forsaken it. Amen. So he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Two words. If nothing else happens to your life in this meeting, I hope you go with those two words. Love and Lord. That will transform your Christian life. That will transform the way you live. Love and Lord. And when you look at your life, you'll ask yourself honestly, "Can I say I love you, Lord? And can I call you Lord?" And maybe when you get on your knees to pray tomorrow or tonight, it'll make you think about using that word Lord. Now, wait a minute, I can't use that word Lord until I make Him my Lord. And well, that'll cause it maybe us to confess and put Him back on the throne where He deserves to be and put our love for Him first where it ought to be. And then we'll have sweet fellowship. And we'll have a touch of heaven down here. I don't have to wait to get to heaven to have heaven. I can have it here.
Amen.
If I love the Lord with all my heart. Father, we love